In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On Sunday, we heard the gospel text that is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and we considered how that parable presents for us the two ways. There is, on the one hand, the way of the Pharisee, which is the easy way. It is the way of the world, and yet it is the way that leads to death. On the other hand, then, is the way of the tax collector. This is the way of life, and yet it is the hard way, the way that is filled with humility. We also commented on the fact that we are given a certain amount of free will as humans to be able to pursue either of those paths. We said that the Pharisee is not necessarily stuck on that path. He can always turn and repent, as did Nicodemus. And yet we shouldn't get too comfortable in that reality. For our gospel text today points out a troubling truth, this fact that there can come a point, even in this life, where the fate of the Pharisee is sealed. There can come a point where a person is no longer able to repent, where they have gone too far down the path that leads to death that they cannot turn around. This is the topic of today's gospel text from Matthew chapter 12. And so as we consider this text briefly, we will consider two questions. First, what is this so-called sin or blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, or as we will refer to it, this unforgivable sin? What is this unforgivable sin? And secondly, how do we Christians guard against committing that sin? First, let's reread the two verses of the gospel text that are of particular note. This is Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. Our Lord says, "I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come." Note that our Lord presents an important distinction here. There is a difference, it seems, between blaspheming Christ and blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And this distinction is important and helps us to get to the heart of our first question: what is this unforgivable sin? Now, we know, as we learn in the Athanasian Creed, that the three persons of the Godhead are co-equal, equal in glory, equal in majesty. There is not a distinction in essence within the Godhead, and therefore God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, their persons are equal. Therefore, to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, is no greater of a sin than to blaspheme the person of Christ. Therefore, this is not primarily what our Lord is talking about. It's not unforgivable to blaspheme the person of the Holy Spirit. Rather, what is unforgivable is to blaspheme the work or the office of the Holy Spirit. Let me back up for a second. As we think about blaspheming against Christ, against the Son of God, we know that this is a forgivable sin. Not only because Christ says so in our reading, but because we have examples of this in the scripture. Think of St. Paul on the Damascus Road, or Saul as he is known to us in the book of Acts at that point. How he is going to Damascus for the very purpose of arresting the believers in Christ. And what does Jesus say to him when he appears to him on the road? "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" For Saul has been blaspheming Christ, and yet he is forgiven. This is an awful sin to blaspheme against Christ. And yet, it is why our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. It is why he shed his blood there, so that sinners like you and me who sin against him day in and day out can be forgiven. Peter is another example who denies the Lord, and yet he is forgiven when he turns and repents. So thanks be to God that blasphemy against Christ, sin against him, is forgivable. But this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is different. C.F.W. Walther, the first president of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, in his lectures on law and gospel, offers a helpful and fairly succinct answer to the question of why blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is unforgivable. In one of his later lectures on this topic, Walther addresses this unforgivable sin, and he says, a person who has committed the sin against the Holy Spirit is condemned not so much because of that sin, but rather because of unbelief. In other words, we know that it is the work, the office of the Holy Spirit to work faith. Luther teaches us in the Catechism that I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, and he sustains me in the true faith. And so the problem with blaspheming the Holy Spirit is that we are resisting his work such that the Spirit cannot work and sustain faith in a person. Therefore, because of that unbelief, one is not saved. One cannot receive forgiveness. But this unforgivable sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit is a little bit more than just resisting the work of the Holy Spirit. For that is something that we all do by nature, according to our sinful nature. We are born, as the Synodical Catechism teaches us in its explanation, we are born as people who are blind, dead, and enemies of God, who fight against him, who naturally resist the Holy Spirit. And so just resisting the Spirit cannot be this unforgivable sin, lest all men would be condemned. And so the unforgivable sin is more than just resisting the work of the Holy Spirit. It is also making a public effort to lead others into the same error. Thus, the word blasphemy, speaking out loud. Now, this is precisely the error of the Pharisees. This is the error that we see them committing throughout the Gospels. In fact, just in Matthew chapter 12, just about 10 or so verses before our reading for today, this is exactly what is happening that leads to our Lord saying what he says. Back in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 12, Christ heals a demon-possessed man who is both blind and mute. And we're told, quote, all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Everyone who saw this demon-possessed man be healed could not help but recognize that there was something divine about what had happened. Maybe they didn't fully understand it, but they could see an inkling of what was going on there. The Holy Spirit was working on them, and yet, the very next verse says that the Pharisees respond by saying, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons. See, the Pharisees are, in Matthew chapter 12, walking very dangerously down this path that leads to death. The Holy Spirit was working on them just as on the rest of the crowds, and yet they had no time for it. They did not want to believe it. They resisted it. And more than that, they began to speak out, trying to lead others down that same path. And so it is that the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12 are getting dangerously close to committing this unforgivable sin. Thus, our Lord, in his mercy, warns them, so that they can, before it is too late, turn around. And so what is the unforgivable sin? Quite simply, the unforgivable sin is committed when a person rejects the Holy Spirit's teaching that he knows to be true and when he publicly speaks against it. This is a very real and a very dangerous sin. And yet for us Christians, we should take comfort in the fact that it is not something that is going to happen by accident. It's not something that you are just going to stumble into and accidentally commit the unforgivable sin. Many Christians, unfortunately, worry about this. They think that they have committed the unforgivable sin, and so their heart is grieved. And yet the simple matter is, if you are concerned and worried that you might have committed this unforgivable sin, then the fact of the matter is you have not. Because the telltale sign that one has committed this sin is that their heart is hardened and they don't care. If you care, if you are sorry for your sin, that is a sure and certain sign that the Holy Spirit is working in your heart and in your life. And so you can take comfort in that you have not committed the unforgivable sin, and you can take comfort in the fact that those who confess their sins do indeed receive forgiveness. So finally then, and very briefly, how do we guard against committing this sin as Christians? Much of what I said in the sermon on Sunday about humility could be repeated here, but for sake of brevity, I will refer you back to that sermon. But I'd like to draw your attention as we conclude to the very last verse of the gospel reading, verse 37, where our Lord says, "By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. For it is out of the heart that one speaks." The faith that we have inside of us comes out of us in our words, and so our words are important. And in many ways, we can consider our words as one of the chief defenses that we have against this sin or any other kind of sin. That we would learn and practice right speaking about the faith, which of course will entail reading God's word and coming to know the scriptures. But it will also entail gathering in assembly with other Christians as we are right now, singing and speaking and thus confessing the faith together so that we can be strengthened together. This in turn helps to guard against pride, again, which we discussed on Sunday, and to teach us humility. But in the end, it is by God's grace alone that one is preserved from sin. It is by God's grace alone that we receive the free gift of Christ who has shed his blood on the cross for us so that we might be forgiven. And so, dear friends in Christ, may the petition of the collect for today be our continual prayer. Lord, pour down upon us the abundance of thy mercy, forgiving us those things whereof our conscience is afraid, and giving us that which our prayer dare not presume to ask. God grant it, in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.